So we start a new Mishnah today. I mean, we've done half of this Mishnah, but we didn't do the second half of the Mishnah. So we're on Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis. And the Mishnah's all the way at the bottom. And if you remember the first part of the Mishnah, we had a long discussion about over the course of a few weeks, in which case a woman lent out a beged, she gets it back, she wears it, she finds a kesem on it, and we apply the principle of tliya in a case where there's no one who's going to become makulkal, and you're not being makalkal anyone. So for example, let's say the borrower was a nida, so we're not being makalkal her. She was a shomeris yom, beyond Rishon Shalal, we're not being makalkal her in any way, so we can be told. That's what we did until now. So now let's go right to the Mishnah. Shalosh Noshim Shalavshu Chalok Echad. Okay, in this case, the Chalok was worn by three women, one after the other. That's called Bazuach Erzu. Oshi Yoshua al Safsal Echad. Again, we're talking about a Safsal that's Makabal Tuma.
Second Mishnah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, the second Mishnah. Yeah, yeah. I said at the bottom, so I thought that was enough, but you're right, second Mishnah. V'nimtza Olav Dam, Kulam Tmeos. It means in this Bava, in this Sefer, the Mishnah, we don't have the possibility of Tliya. Everyone's going to be Tamei Misafek. Because if you're going to blame one of these ladies, then you're being Makalkala. Why should you Makalkala one over the other? They're all equal in the eyes of the law. There are a couple of nuances in this Mishnah that I'll mention just in passing. That's not my focal point. One is, why did the Mishnah Dafka have to speak about three Nashim? L'chora, the same principle could have been conveyed in two Nashim. And in order to really answer that question, we're going to have to see a later Mishnah, because this Mishnah is formulated as an introduction to a later Mishnah.
Next one.
Then another question that comes up here is that maybe in the case of Safsal, we have to differentiate between, you know, what the safsal is made of. For example, if the safsal is made of eights, so eights is something that's makabel tuma. If you take wood and you make it into a kli, then it's royal makabel tuma. So for example, you'll see later on that the Mishnah is going to talk about a case of safsal shel evan, because the safsal shel evan has a whole different status than a safsal shel eitz. And that has to do with the laws of Kabbalah's Tuma. But another issue here that comes up, which is, again, it's a little bit off the beaten path for us today, is a principle called Kan Nimtza Kan Hoya, which means that we don't go back in time and assume that what we find now was there earlier, and draw, you know, repercussions, conclusions from an earlier situation. So here, l'chora, if we apply the principle of kan nimsa kan hoya to three women who wore a beged, or three women who sat on a safsal in sequence, then only the third one should be tmeo. Why do we assume that the first two are also tmeos? Maybe we should say kan nimsa kan hoya, and the kesem is only relevant to the third woman. Why do we go back to the previous women? So that's a whole discussion here in the Tiferes Yisrael, the Rashash. But what we want to do now is compare this Mishnah to the next Mishnah. So if you fast forward now to Daf Samach Amud Beis, and here there's only one Mishnah, so we can't get confused. And the Mishnah says, Shalosh Nashim Shayu Yishenos B'mita Achas. So again, it's not the case of three women who in sequence wore the same beged, or in sequence sat on the same safsal, but rather here, simultaneously, all three women are sleeping in the same mita, and then what happens? So the Mishnah says, "V'nimtza dam tachas achas mehen." So we find dam under one of them. The question is, which one? Because the Mishnah goes on to say, "Kulan tmeos," that we can't be mitayer any of them, and therefore we have to be mitame all of them.
What do you mean? What's the situation? What does tachas mean?
Oh, so that's going to be the whole sugi here. Is it tachas the emtzois, or is tachas, even if it's tachas, the one who slept on the outside of the bed? In other words, on which part of the bed do we find the dam?
Well,
that's going to be the issue.
Which one? And it's not on anybody's kaluk.
Correct. It's on the sadin. It's on the bed. On the bed itself.
So that means they're not wearing kalukos, or they're just. Or they, we have to explain it some other way.
I don't. Honestly, Alan, I don't know that's relevant. Meaning,
well, you look to see if it's out, then one of the kalukos, then obviously there's no reason to. They're becoming,
right. We're talking about a case where they're all tahoros. So obviously, we don't have any particular woman who has dam on our chaluk. Otherwise, we would say that she's tmei and not the others. But here's a case where they're all becheskes tara. And now we found dam tachas achas mehem. So the question is, do we attribute the dam to any particular woman? Let's say we find it in the middle of the bed. Okay, I'm just jumping a few steps here. And therefore we don't have any reason to attribute it to one or the other. So the Mishnah says, kulam tmeos.
Why shouldn't it be kulam taharos, since it's not on the chaluk?
Well, we know that it belongs to one of them. And we don't know which of the three.
I mean, it may be an old kesem. Because... how did it get there? How did it get out of the sadin without staining the kalut?
I don't know. It may have come in a downward position. You know.
I mean, it's in a bed, it's not like standing.
I don't know. In any event, I'll just read to you what the Rush says over here. The Rush says, "Dafka yeshenos." It's a. Why does the Mishnah say yeshenos? You see that? The word yeshenos, he says, shemitoch shena heim mishafchos. He says that they turn upside down and they move in all directions during their sleep. V'choshishin shema nichnasa kol achas miyem lemokom chaverta. So remember I told you before that the Gemara is going to talk about where, under which one of these three women did we find this dam. And he says that since it's a case of Ishenos, in that case, it doesn't matter where you found the dam, because they all move around from one side to the bed to the other. Okay. Then the Mishnah says as follows. This is the part of the Mishnah that we want to focus our attention on today. Bodka achas mehen v'nimtzeis tmeya. So this concept of bodka is going to lead to sort of like an overlap of a lot of different sugis that we've learned. Sugis about bedika, when she made the bedika, how she made the bedika, was it b'chor nustok, was it only kinuach mibachut, the issue of tlia, can we assume that this dam is attributed to one of them and not to the other? When did she make the bedik? I mean, again, we're going to get hopefully involved in all these issues, but today I just want to give sort of like an introduction to touch base on the sugya, sort of just to get an overview of what the issues are. So it turns out like this. One of the three ladies who was sleeping in this bed makes a bedik and she finds dam. She finds herself to be tmeh. Now, if we go back to the previous Mishnah, we said that if there's already a Mekulkeles, now we can apply the principle of Tliya. So that's exactly what our Mishnah applies, very consistently. He Tmeya, Ushtein Tahoros.
Yes.
Now we find that one of them is Tmeya, no matter what, she's Tmeya, then the other are Tahoros. We're going to soon see that this is not very simple, because Lechora, you can argue, he Tmeya, now she became Tmeya. How do you know that she was a Tmeya at the time that the dam was found on the sadin?
Right.
She may have become tmeya now. So that's going to be the sugya here of Rabbi Yehuda Marat. But first, before we get to that, the Mishnah says, Shtei and the other two women are tahoros. Again, because we have now tliya, one of them is definitely tmeya. And then it says in the Mishnah, Vitolos zubazu. What is the Mishnah adding over here when it says tolos zubazu? So this is a case of what's called a muberis. Muberis is a woman who's generally eina re'uya liros. So in such a case where, since she's what's called a mesulekes damim, she's not, we don't anticipate that she would have dam during her pregnancy state. Her friend, on the other hand, who slept in that bed, is re'uya liros. She's not a muberis. In such a case, the Mishnah says, tolos zo bazu. The one who's not re'uya liros has the right to be tola that this dam came from the re'uya liros. So then the muberis gets off the hook. Yeah, she's tahor. However, v'im lo hayu re'uyos liros, if all the women are in the state of muberis, and once again we have the problem that one of them is definitely Tmea, is then Rohan Osan Ki'ilu Hein Re'uyos. We view all of them as if they were Re'uyos, because again, we can't choose one over the other. So we have to assume that, again, I don't know what the statistical probability of this is, that three women who were pregnant had Dam. But that's because we have no possibility of Tliya, and the only possibility of Tliya is when you can remove someone from the Sofek and not in any way aggravate the others. So if, for example, one is Muberis, she's Ena Ruyu Liros, and the others are Ruyos Liros, then by being tolled on the Ruyo Liros, you haven't in any way aggravated anybody, because that's what it is. But if they're all Mu'ubaros, meaning they're all in the state of Ena Ruyo Liros, then as soon as you point your finger to one of them, you know, you are illegally discriminating against that one, and therefore Kulam Tmeh.
Why be taller than what the Kesem is talking
about? So again, the Kesem is Tachto is going to come up in the Sugya, but now we're assuming, like the Rush, that they're all Mishafchos. So there's no reason to assume it's one.
Yeah, that would be good, except for the problem that we have the unusual situation of Mulvaros. If in Mulvaros, it's statistically... the Gemara is holding that statistically that it's not going to happen. So it's an unusual case. If it was an unusual case, why did we told it on the one that it's under?
Again, as I told you before, Alan, the question of is it under one of them or not is going to be taken up by the sugya. Okay. And the Gemara is going to totally liquidate that svara that it's under one of them. Either they're mishulavos, that their legs are crossed on the bed, or the Gemara is going to say that it's in the amtsayis, or the rush as far as the sapos. Again, that issue is always going to come up in the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to somehow, you know, dispel that possibility that we should attribute it to one of them. So again, the basic principle of the Mishnah, if we want to sort of summarize the Mishnah, is that if we have no way of assuming that this dam came from one of them, in other words, if we have no possibility of Tliya, then even though each one of them in and of herself would not logically, we wouldn't anticipate her being Tmeis, but since we can't do Tliya, they're all Tmeis. That's the principle of the Mishnah. Okay. Now, the Mishnah says that if one of them made a bedika and she found herself to be Tmeya, then we can be Metayer the other two women.
Right.
But one second, now the question arises. Okay, so she made a bedika, she found herself to be Tmeya, maybe she became Tmeya now. How does that impact on the moment that the dam was found? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, who, when does this bedika meaningful? Shebodka atzma bishir veses. Okay, now we're going to try to understand what that means. In any event, there's a moment called Mitzias Adam, when we found the dam on this mitah, and then there's a moment called Bishir Veset. That's the moment after which she made the bedika, she meaning one of the three. Now, the distance in time between the Mitzias Adam and the bedika is called Kishir Vest. What is Kishir Vest? It means that there was no discrepancy in time whatsoever. She checked herself immediately. In other words, she found the dam on the bed, and immediately, without delay, she checks herself. What does immediately mean? What does that kishir vest mean? That's what the Gemara is going to develop now with the sugya bar poda, which we're about to embark upon. So again, once again, let's summarize the principle. There's something called a vedika kishir vest. Now, we once had a sugya back on Daf Yud Beis, if you might recall, it was many months ago, in which we said that it, we're not talk, when we talk about a bedika kishir ves, we're not talking about what we call bedika schorin ustakim, because by definition, a bedika schorin ustakim takes a longer period of time, and to do that thorough internal inspection could never be achieved within the shear of vest, but rather we're talking about what's called kinuach. Do you remember kinuach? It's like an external kinuach, and it's enough to establish that she's tmei.
That was done during Mila, I think it was.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. So again, if it was a case of bedika b'chorin ustakim, then it's already beyond the shear of vest, and if it's beyond the shear of vest, then there's no tliya, because again, tliya depends upon the moment that the dam was found. Was she tmei at that time? And since she made a bedika kishir vest following the finding of the dam, therefore we assume that she was tmei at the time that the dam was found, and that allows the other two women in this bed to be tola on her. Now I want to share with you a very interesting insight of the Meiri. The Meiri says the following. He says, "Afil she'achshav osa shebodka atzma v'nimtzeis tmeo harei tmeo v'vadai." He says, "There's no question in anyone's mind that when a woman makes a bedika and she finds herself tmeo, then she's tmeo b'toras vadai from hence and on." We've certainly solved the problem of kilkul. We're not being mekalkel her if we're tola. And therefore, the Meiri says that in such a case, why not be tola on her? How is it different than the case of Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, where everybody agreed, even Rebbe, if you remember, that tolin b'yom rishon shalom? Everybody says tolin, and why? Because there's no added kilkul. So what's the difference between bodkas atzma b'shir vest and bodkas atzma achshav? Achshav meaning right now, when the suffix comes into Bezdin or in front of the Rav, and the Rav tells her to go into the washroom and make a bedika, and she finds herself to be tmeah. What's the problem? Once she's tmeah, she's tmeah, and therefore she's a mekul kelis already, so why not apply the principle of tliya? Says the Meiri, there's a fundamental difference between the two cases. He says the following: Kev under v'shas mitzias hakesem nasu kulam tmeos. The very moment that we find the kesem, at that moment we establish that all three are tmeos, and therefore we can't apply tliya. V'ilu akarkach, even if later on she makes a bedika and she finds herself to be tmeo, that's only good mikan ulahaba, but it's not powerful enough, he says, to be tola someone who's already established to be tmeo. V'ein motzino son mitumasam. So this new halacha of our Mishnah bodka achas mihen, which the Gemara in the name of Rav defines as bodka atzma b'shir ves, this new halacha is telling us that she basically is considered to be tmeya at the time of the mitzias hakesem. If, on the other hand, she makes the bedika later on, not kishir vest, it wasn't immediate, then, says the Meiri, already at the time the mitzias hakesem nasu kulam tmeos, and now you want to generate a new possibility of tliya later on, in order to be motzi these women mitum asam, that we can't do. Masha Einken, says the Meiri, b'tliya b'shomeres yom, in the case of, let's say, a woman who lent her garment to a woman who is a shomeres yom, and now she gets the garment back and she wears it, is there tliya operates b'shomeres yom, shemiyad b'shas mitzias hakesem, when the original owner of the begging gets back her chaluk and she wears it, and she finds the dam, immediately at that moment she could be tola on the Shomeres Yom, and therefore she never became tmei at all. We never established her as tmei. The whole purpose of our Mishnah is to set up a tliya such that there never was tuma, because the Meiri says there's no post facto tliya. Once you've established a woman as tmei, you cannot use tliya to undo her status of tmei. And therefore he says the following: we have three cases in front of us. We have one case back on Daf Nun Ches, and that's the case of Shomer Siyom Keneged Yom. There, she lent her garment, she got it back. She lent it to a Shomer Siyom, B'yom Rishon Shalosh, she got it back today. Now she wears it, she finds a Kesem. Immediately when we paskin on that moment of finding the Kesem, we can apply the principle of Tliya to be told on the Mekul Keles, the Shomer Siyom, B'yom Rishon Shalosh. That's scenario number one. Then we have scenario number two, where three ladies slept in a bed. Now they find a kesem, and tomorrow, I'm just using that figuratively, one of the three does a bedik and finds itself to be tmeya. Here, tliya doesn't operate. Why? Because at the moment that the kesem was found, we were metame all three. Now tomorrow, we want to say that, well, we can possibly be told on this one because now she made a bedika and she found herself to be tmeya. Says the Meiri, you can't be motzi and isha mitum asa. Then we have scenario number three, which is a discussion of our Mishnah and our sugya, namely, where one of the three makes a bedika immediately at the moment of shas mitzias hakesem. What does that mean, immediately? After all, it's humanly impossible. I mean, there's obviously some time discrepancy between finding the kesem and her bedika. The answer is that there's a new halacha here, which is called Kishir or Bishir Vest. And if it's Bishir Vest, we're going to soon see, that creates almost a simultaneity, as if both the Metzias HaKesem and the Tumah of the Bedika that results from the Bedika, they both took place at the same time. Where is this coming from? And how does that work? So that's the sugya here of Bar Poda. Our Mishnah says Rav reflects the shita of Bar Poda. Bar Poda is going to argue with Rav Oshia. Now let's just give a little bit of an introduction here to the machlokas between Bar Poda and Rav Oshia. The issue here is about taharos. You may remember that at the beginning of Masechta Nida, when a woman finds herself to be tmeya, then we metami her taharos l'mafreya me'es li'es, because we assume the possibility that maybe she had dam that was suspended, that was held back in the Beis Hachitzot. It took a day until it actually came out and she saw it. And therefore, all the tmeyos that she was osekes behem, l'mafreya, all the taros are tmeyos. That's called me'es le'es. That's case number one. Then we're going to have case number two. Case number two is going to be the following. That a woman has tashmish amita, and then after tashmish, she sees dam. And we have to now answer two questions. Number one, was she in need at the time of the tashmish? And therefore the Baal and she herself, they both have to bring a korban chatos for a shogeg of an isur kares, because bias nida is an isur kares. And question number two, what's the status of the taros that she was osekes b'hem before tashmish? What's the status of that? Okay. So regarding these two questions, we have a machlokas between Bar Poda and Rav Oshia. Bar Poda basically is going to maintain the following fundamental rule. Whatever you decide as far as bylaw is concerned, meaning did she have the dam at the time of Tashmish, and whether the Baal is Chayav HaKorban Chatos or not, that determination is ipso facto going to tell you the status of the Taros that she was Osekes Behen. Meaning, Bar Poda doesn't tolerate any sort of differentiation here, what we call Tzvei Dinim, to set up two different Dinim, one for Baila and one for Taharoseha. So let's take a look at Bar Poda. Again, Rav is going to say that our Mishnah, in introducing this concept of Bishir Veset, is standing on the shoulders of Bar Poda. And again, the machlokas between Bar Poda and Rav Oshia revolves around the case of a woman who is Osekes Betaros, and immediately afterwards she finds Dam. And what do I mean by immediately afterwards? Bishir Vest. And Bar Poda says that if after being Osekes Betaros, she finds Dam Bishir Vest immediately afterwards, that's considered as if she had Dam at the time that she was Osekes Betaros, and therefore all those Taros are considered Tmeos. Rav Ashi is going to create what's called a Suffolk Tumah as far as the Taros. But Bar Pada says it's a Vadai. How do we know it's a Vadai? Says Rav Papa, says Bar Pada, excuse me, Savalok and Bar Pada, the Omar, Kol Shebaila Bechatos Taroseot Meos. Bar Pada says, I'm going to prove to you that when she makes a Medika Bashir vest, then she is Vadai. That she saw, that she already saw dam at earlier, and therefore her taharos are tmeos, because baila bechatos. So what does it mean, baila bechatos? Again, a man has a relationship with his wife, and then after the relationship, she immediately did a bedika, and she finds dam. What is this immediately after the tashma she did a bedika? Kishir bashir vest. Immediately, Bashir Vest, an immediate bedika she made. What's the status of the Baal as far as being Baal Nida? Is he a Suffolk Baal Nida? After all, he had a relationship with her before she made the bedika. The bedika was after the Tashmish. The Tashmish is already terminated, and now she finds Dam. So do we assume that he was Baal Nida? And the answer is yes. Because how do I know this? How does Bar Pada prove that? He's chayav a korban chatos. A korban chatos is a korban that comes al havadai, not on safek, but rather on vadai. We'll soon see that there's another kind of korban that comes al safek that's called an osham tolui. Oh, so now that she had a relationship with her baal and she made a bedika kishir vest after the tashmish, the din is that the Baal has to bring, and she too has to bring, a korban chatos. It means we assume the dam was there already b'shas tashmish. And why is that so? Because the bedika was done b'shir vest immediately after the tashmish, and therefore we're going to assume that she was already tmeya, she was already anida a few seconds earlier at the time of the tashmish. It means that the Baal was Ba'al Ha'nida. The Ba'al Ha'nida is Chayev, a Karban Chatos. Is Memela. If you're assuming that there's a Vadai, therefore, says Bar Pada, ipso facto, Taroseha Tmeos. We have to assume that so too, as far as her Negia Betaros, meaning she was Osekas Betaros, then well, anything that she was Osekas Betaros Bashir Vest, is considered tmeos. And what kind of tmeos? When we say the word tmeos, that's critical. Bitoras vadai. Vadai tmeos. And therefore the halacha is that when you have vadai tmeos, is sarfenov, we have to burn it. So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Kibar poda di omar kol shabaylo bechatos v'chule. Isha shenis aske bitaros. Uparsha veros adam kishir veses. My parsha means that she stopped her, she took a break in her esaskus bitaros, and she made a bedika and she saw adam kishir veses. So the time between nisaska bitaros and the ve'iyas adam, the metzias adam, was kishir veses. Is legavi baila, says Bar Pada, Behi hai shiura, within that shir of bedikas kishir veses havi baila bechatos demachzikin hai dam b'shas be'ila vadai. Let's underline that word vadai. Rashi says that we assume that already at shas be'ila she vadai had dam, and if we apply that principle to its logical conclusion, then hachanami. Here too, with regard to his askus betaros, machzikinu bevada b'shas asikosa behanach taharos vitaros tmeos vadai, that these taros certainly became vadai tmeos v'sorfin. Oh, and now Rashi adds another few words. The eno kishar me'es le'es litlos. This is not like the case of the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Nida, when a woman finds dam, then we assume that all the taros that she had contact with l'mafreya, me'es le'es, are tmeos. There, it's only suffek tmeos. That's what Rashi calls litlos. Litlos means we don't burn it, and we don't eat it, because that's the status of something that's a suffix. We can't eat it because it might be tome. We can't burn it because it might be tar. So that's called tliya. Not the same tliya that we've been discussing in our Mishnayos. That's a tliya in Hilchos Tuma Vitara, and that applies to the case of a woman who finds herself now to be tmeya. How do we know that she was tmeya in the last 24 hours? That's only a din of suffix of tolin. Says Bar Pada, but here that she made a bedika immediately bishir vest, there in such a case we consider her vadai tmeya for anything that was within that bishir vest, meaning the tashmish in the case of baila b'chatos, or his askus b'taros in case of sreifas hataros. And that's point number one of Bar Pada. Now we get to point number two. However, says Bar Pada, Baila b'yosham tolui, if she sees dam right after tashmish, and the halacha is that the baal is only a suffek baal nida, and therefore he only brings an osham tolui, in such a case, taroseha tluyos, then likewise the status of her taharos are tluyos. Okay. Let's see Rashi Dibramastil Baila the Osham Tolu. Rashi says, Imli Achar Shepirshim and Ataros, from the moment in time that she terminated her Askus Pitaros, Shasa, she waited a period of time before she made her Bedika, a period of time which is obviously after, it's greater than Kishas Vesta. And how much time is it? Rashi says, Kidesha Tered Minamita Vitadiach Panel. The time it takes for her to go down from the Mita, it doesn't mean she actually went down from the Mita, but it means this is the Shir of Zman. It would take for her to go down from the Mita and to clean herself off, to douche herself, right? If you're asking whether her husband has to bring a karma chatos in such a case, where she finds down after this period of kadesh tered, the answer is no, he doesn't have to bring a karma chatos, but rather he brings a karma Asham Tali, why this suffix dam? She has a suffix whether or not this dam was there, Bishas Bia, or suffix Basar Haki. Maybe she only had the dam come out after the Bia. Says Bar Pada, the same principle has to apply with regard to his Askus Bitaros. Suffixu Ihavi Dam Bishas Taharos, Ilav is therefore Taroseha Tluyos. Therefore, we don't burn it because we're not sure that she already had dam at that moment and she was tmeo, and therefore the taharos are tmeos. But on the other hand, we cannot eat it. When I say we cannot eat it, let's say, for example, it's a case of truma where the Kohen has a mitzvah to eat truma, but in the case of truma tmeo, he's not allowed to eat the truma, but rather has to burn the truma. Here, we cannot burn the truma, we cannot eat the truma. It's in that limbo state. It's not here, not there. That's called tliya, tolin. And the reason for tolin here is because since she made the bedika a little bit later, not within the bishir veses, we already have a suffix whether she had dam at the time that she was osekas pitaros, or at the time that she had be'ila with her husband. Therefore, since the halacha is in this case, says Bar Pada, that the husband brings an osham tolui, therefore the taros that she was osekas pem is also a case of suffix, and in a case of suffix we apply the principle of tluyos. Now Bar Pada adds a third din, baila patur. What happens if a long period of time goes by, not kadesha terid min amita v'tadia panel, but rather a half hour goes by, and then she makes a bedika and she finds dam? In such case, baila patur. The husband doesn't have to bring anything, not even a karban asham tolui. Why? Because we assume that since this period of time, this significant amount of time passed since the tashmish until she sees the dam, therefore we assume the dam came after the bia. says Farpada in such a case in Taros is Taroseho Tahoros. Very consistent. It's a mirror image of the din of Labai. There are no, as we said before, there are no Tzvei Dinim over here. Okay, now we get to Rav Oshia. Rav Oshia, he disagrees with the first din of Bar Poda. Amar Afilu Baila Bechatos Taroseha Tluyos. Even though, as far as the husband is concerned, when she sees Dam immediately after the Tash, she did a Bdika of Tok Shir Vest, and therefore her husband has to bring a Karbon Chatos. Nevertheless, the Taros that she was no Gerbahen, and then the Shir of the shear of what? Of Veses passes, then the status of these Taharos is a status of Safek. Now this is a Pella, and that's what the Gemara is going to pounce upon Rav Oshia and try to figure out what's he saying. How could Rav Oshia make this distinction in the case of Bedika Bishas Vest between Biol Abal and whether or not that generates a Karbon Chatos and Taros? After all, it all depends upon whether or not this Kishir Vest establishes a Vadai, or it's only a Suffolk. If it establishes a Vadai, then to the same extent that we understand why the Baal brings a Chatos and that Rav Oshia doesn't question, we should also therefore ipso facto derive the conclusion that Taros are Nisrafim, are Tmeos. If on the other hand you can assume that there was, Bechalzot, there was a certain limited, very short discrepancy in time, and therefore we assume that she saw the Dam afterwards, then to the same extent that you have a Sufik Lagabi the Taros, you should logically apply the same Sufik Lagabi Baila, and he should only be Chayv what? A Karbon Asham. I'm sorry, Asham Tolovin. So the Gemara asks this question now, Bishlei Mahasam. The Gemara answers. So the Gemara answers, what is the underlying logic of Rav Oshia to split up these two dinim? He says the following, Bishlei Mahasam, if you're talking about the issue of Bia, great, right? We have two scenarios here. We have one scenario, Bia, and then Bedikas Dam, Bishir Vest, and another scenario of Isaskus Pitaros and then a Bedika Bishir Vest. So I can understand very well why we assume that at the time of the Tashmish she was already Tmeh, she already had Dam, and therefore we're going to apply this Lemafreya, again a very limited Lemafreya, from the Bedika back to the moment of Tashmish. And why are we going to do that?
Bishir Vest, you're talking about
Bishir Vest. Again, now, Rabosai, again, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. We're focused now on the machlokas between Bar Pod and Rav Oshia. The machlokas between Bar Pod and Bar Oshia only revolves around one of Bar Pod's three dinim, and that's the first of his three dinim, namely the case where she made a bedika and she found Dam Bishir Vest. And even though, as far as Baila is concerned, Kuli Amalo, please, Chayiv a Karbon Chatos in such a case where there was a Tashmish and then immediately after the Tashmish she finds Dam. Nevertheless, there's a machlokas between Bar Poda and Rav Oshia as far as Taros is concerned. In a case where she was Osekis Bitaros at time T1, and at time T2 she makes a Bedik and finds Dam, and the discrepancy between T1 and T2 is Bashir Vest. In such a case, to our surprise, Rav Oshia says you can only generate a Suffolk, you can't generate a Vada, even though in this exact same case in Tashmish, the Baal is Chayiv a Karbon Chatos. So what's the difference? Bishlei Mahasam with regard to Bia, and now we're going to assume that she had Bia already Lamafreya at the time of the Tashmish. Amar, what are we going to assume? Shamash Akve Ladam. That the Aver, meaning the Aver Atashmish, the male organ that's now is now inserted, that's going to be Ma'akiv the Dam. In other words, we have a very logical reason to understand why it took that extra little time period, that few seconds of time until till she saw the dam. And the reason for that is dam is shamash ikve l'dam. Aval hocha. Do you have the word aval? I don't know if you have it. Anyway, hocha or aval hocha, but in regard to taros, what happened? She was osekes b'taros, now she makes a bedika. In Isa Davi Dam, if she actually had the dam already at the time of her his askus b'taros, man ikve. What could have prevented the dam, held the dam from coming out already at the time that she was noge b'taros? No one was clogging her up and pushing the dam up or forming a barrier to not allow the dam to exit from her body. And therefore there is a possibility, says Rav Oshia, that maybe she saw this dam after she had completed her askus b'taros. Therefore the best you can say here is that the taros are tmeis b'toras suffek. And the Chachom are going to assume that if a woman saw a dam, then this halach, if you remember, of meis lies, and that was the basis of the din in the Mishnah, but all those cases of meis lies can only generate a tumas suffek and not a tumas vadai, and therefore it's tolin and not sarfin. So that's the Shita of Oshia. And now we're going to take this machlokas and plug it back into our Mishnah.
Why does he have to say that? You have to say that it's sasun neiru sasun. I mean, what's the difference? There was a shihia between the time when she was osekis b'taros and
that shihia, says Rav Oshia, generates a sasun.
Exactly. So you don't have to come to that.
No, but you have to ask yourself. So why does Rav Oshia agree? He admits that in Bailos chayav a korban chatos, if that shehi itself, as short of a time as it was, is enough to generate a sofeg, so the baal should be chayv a korban oshem toli and not a special chatos.
It's in shir vesed. Shir vesed means we consider it to be.
So that generates a vade, otherwise he wouldn't bring a korban chatos. If it generates a vade, then we should be burning the taros. What does Rosh Hashanah say? Toli?
Because there's a shehi there. Because
it's the same identical shehiyah in both cases.
No, the shehiyah is between him and her. Oh, you're talking about.
Again, it's the identical case.
I thought it was sequential that you were talking about. Sure, she was osekes b'taros.
No, the two different scenarios. Scenario number one is that she had tashmish. Scenario number two, she was osekes b'taros. Two different cases. In both cases, she only waited a very short period of time called kashir veses until she made the bedik and found dam. In the first case, with regard to a shas vesta or kashir vesta, right, immediately after tashrish, we obligate the baal to bring a korban chatos. Right. Ipso facto, that means it's a vada.
Right.
In the case of taros, where immediately after she drops the taros, she makes a bedika, talk to the shir vest.
We drop it down.
We drop down one level, and she doesn't consider the taros vada tmeos. According to Rav Oshia, they're only suffik tmeos, and therefore it's tolen.
I am mistaken. Thinking.
Now, do you see the Tosis Ema? Ema shamish ikva l'dam aval hoch v'im tomer came in the yochel lios the afagav the nimtza kishir veses. You know, you're right that there's a possibility that the shamosh, it's called in the Gemara's language. Gemara's very edel about it, right? Is that there's a possibility that the shamosh was ma'akiv the dam, but you don't know for sure that happened. There is a possibility that she saw the dam after the completion of the bia. So why do you insist on a korban chatos? The Yesh Lomer came into rov pi'omim ba mikodem. As a general rule, we can assume a woman's dam comes a little bit before she sees it, meaning it's to some extent,
it's,
you know,
travel somewhere.
Yeah, it's got to come through, you know, through the old pipelines until it comes out, and therefore we assume that she already had dam. And add to that, says Tosfos, that even if you think it would have been a miut, that maybe we should be choshish that she didn't have the dam, but add to that, b'tashmish ikul amitle b'ikuv tashmish. So now we're going to say that maybe the reason why the dam came afterwards Again, in 99% of the cases, the dam came before. Yeah. But even Afil Timsaloma, this is the one case where the dam came later. I'll tell you why the dam came later. Because the Shamash was ma'akev, the dam.
Why is it
says Tosfos, in such a case, she's considered Tmeya Min HaTorah.
Why is the dam not on the Shamash?
Oh, is that one second? Give me a second to answer. That's a good question. Why does he find the dam on the Shamash? So you know what? That's a discussion of the Aruch Lanner. I don't have the Aruch Lanner. So Bli Neder, if you remind me, we'll try to get a hold of the Aruch Lanner. Okay. Now, let's try to see. Rashi Dibra Maschil Bishleima. Rashi says Bishleima Hasam, the third of the wide lines, Gabi Beila, Ki Rasa Kishir Veses, Amina Bishas Bia Havi Dam. We assume that she had Dam already at the time of the Bia. Vahai, Dilo Asa, Adhashta. Now you'll ask me, but why did it take such a time until now, till she found it? Is Shamash Ikve, the Shamash held it back. The Shamash held it back. So I don't know, Rabosai, here in the Sefer called Chidud Halachos, which is quoted in the footnote, he asks the following question. I'm not sure if I'm on board for this question, but he says that on the one hand, Hikshu B'Tosfus, since according to Rav Oshi Shir Veses, is not Vadai, and that's why the Taros are only Tluyim, and Kein Lomel Abayla Mid Vichatos. Maybe the Shamash was Makav, maybe it wasn't. Is Tirtzu Atosus, the came in the Rov Pa'amim Adam Bo Mikodem, Vitashmish Yesh Litlos, Shashamash Yikimus Adam, Yeshkan, Vadai Tuma, Menatora Vi Ayin Vi Aruch Lanner. Okay, fine. So as I said, I don't have the Aruch Lanner. But what we do have here is a summary, a short summary of the Chidudei Halachos. I don't know who authored that sefer, but I know it's a very often, frequently quoted sefer. And he asks the following question: he says, "Madua Kosav Rashi Shemashe Betaros Tluyim Zemishum Gzeras Chachomim." He says the following. If you read Rashi carefully, the Rashi that we just read, three lines up from the bottom of the page, Rashi adds another element into the equation, that this din of Tuma is only a Suffolk Tuma, and it's only a Gzera Drabana. Why can't this Suffolk generate a Tuma Doraisa? And again, I'm not going to assume that we're talking about Rishus HaRabim over here, because you know we're talking about a woman who's Osekis Betaros in Rishus HaYochid. Is why does Rashi say that Tarosem Tluyos is Migzeres Chachomim came in the Bodka Atzma Bashir Vest in Kain Tmea Misafik Midoraisa Vehi Bechlal Kol Shebailo B'Yashem Toli Tarosem Tluyos. So this halacha that her taharos or suffik tumas is a doraisa halacha. Why does Rashi have to introduce here a gzeres chachamim? Shrei af bebia shenimtza adam liachar shir vesed ubechdei sheterid min amita who suffik doraisu bailo bi'ashem tolvi. If we go back to the second din of Bar Poda says that there's a case where the Baal brings an Ashem Tolvi. And what was that? That was when there was a Shehiyah of Kidei Yuridas Min Amita V'Adochas Hadochas Poder Shalmata. So we see that even when a long period of time goes on, it's a real bona fide Sofik Doraisa. When I say long, I don't mean very long. I'm that middle case, you know, that middle stage. And if that's enough to generate a Sofik Doraisa, then the Taharos should be Tmeos Mitzad Sofik. Very stark akasha of the Chidudei Halachos. So he says the following answer. He says, "Shekashem shesover of osha sheyesh chiluk bein liachar tashmish Shatashmish mi'akev es hadam, shashamash, excuse me, ma'akev es hadam, levein oska betaros, she'ein adam es akev klal, k'mo chen sover av oshia, she'beshir, the shir of terid min amito, yesh sofek, shashamash ikev es hadam, al betaros ein sofek klal, lomar shadam his akev.
Right, and since it wasn't there, so that, so she has basically a cheskes tara.
The taros have a cheskes tara, and the only suffix do rice that can be generated is when we have the additional element here of hashamash ma'akev es hadam.
Right.
So in other words, like this: neutralize the shamash ma'akev es hadam, then the halacha is that we're not going to be metami the taros mitzad sofek on a doraisa level, and therefore Rashi is compelled to say that the whole tumah here is only dirabbanan.
Then it begs the question: why should it right? It should be tami dirabbanan altogether.
Why did the rabbanan make this gzera?
Yeah.
Well, that we found already in the first mishnah nida that the rabbanan were more machmir. That's like milo osu v'taros.
Yeah.
We found, for example, the Mishnah at the beginning of the first parak say that for Taros she has to make a bedika before Tashmish and after Tashmish.
Yeah, okay.
A daily bedika, even when she's not having Tashmish. I mean, all those chumras were a part of the takana of Milo Asu b'Taros. So it doesn't surprise me that you could have a Drabbanan considering the Taros Tmeos, but on a Daraisa level, the Taros are Becheskas Tahoros. Now he has a note here from the Pischei Nida. So I'd like to, if you don't mind, to try to work this out together. I should really photocopy this for you, but let's just try if we can do it ourselves. He says, "Bar Padavar of Oshia Nechleku Beisha Shes Aska Betaros Ukshepirsha Motza Dam Beshir Vest Lebar Padam Rinon Vaday Hoya Dam Kvar Vies Ha Isuk Betaros V'Lachen Taros Sel Tmeos BeVaday," and therefore they're burnt. "Ulav Oshia Dainu Sofek Em Adam Kvar Hoya Oz V'Lachen Taros Sel Tmeos BeTorah Sofek." Oh. If this be the case, let's go back to our Mishnah. Hatana b'Mishnah Seinu sheshona sheyecholos hanoshim litlos es hadam shenimtza beinehem. Right, three women were sleeping in a bed, and one of them, after they found the dam, did a bedika b'shir vest and found dam. So the Mishnah applies the din of tliya. Savar kibar poda, says Rav. That Mishnah could only make sense on the shoulders of our pod. Why? Shemitzias hadam b'shir vesek goremes latuma vadoes l'mafreya v'lachem hein tolos ba utahoros vaday. Avol l'shitas Rabbi Oshia shemitzias hadam b'shir veses eina mitama osa l'mafreya b'toras vaday el b'toras Sofek is in Cain Benidon Shemishnah Senu Ein Shara Nosh Michols Litlos Ba Kevon Shi Tmeil Mafer Rakmi Sofek. Says the Pischei Nida, he says, Efshash Rabbi Oshia Atzmo Yomar Shedina Mishnah Eino Soser Eshi Tosel Yolma Tahoro Shatar Shaskwehem Lefnei Metzias Adam Tmeos Rak Misofgel Gabi Gzeres Chachomim Shal Ksomim Hikivu Chachomim Sheef Shal Litlos Ba Afilum Eino Tmeo Vadai. The Pischei Nida argues that in the case of Tlia, we're not dealing with the Doraisa Halacha. In the case of Taros, you want to come and burn the Taros. Rav Oshia says, hold on, stop. How can you burn Taros? That's a, you know, if it's a Truma, then burning Truma is a terrible Avera. Unless you know for sure that it's Tmeo, and then you have to burn it. But if you don't, in the absence, and here you had a discrepancy in time, you're left with nothing more than a Suffolk, and therefore you cannot burn the Trumos. But in our case of Tlia, we're dealing with Kesem, which is in the maximum, in the worst case scenario, only a Drabbanan. And the Drabbanan allowed Tlia. So you can be told in one woman who has a suffix because she made this bedika b'shir vest after they found the kesem, and she's tmei b'tora suffix. I'll grant you that she's tmei b'tora suffix, but why shouldn't that be enough to activate and apply the principle of tliya in a suffix rabbanon of ksamim? And therefore, the Piskei Nidah wants to suggest that the Gemara never meant to say that our Mishnah is against Rav Oshia. The Gemara wanted to be medayik from our Mishnah that the simple pshat of that Mishnah would reflect the shita of Bar Pada, that she's a vadai tmeya, and if she's a vadai tmeya, then certainly tliya should operate. But enafinami, if you were to ask Rav Oshia himself, says the Piskei Nidah, he would claim that the Mishnah could reflect his shita. Okay. Now comes the Bach, and he says that Ladas Rav Oshia ain chevrosea tolos ba, her friends in the bed, her bed mates are not allowed to be tola. Ela im bodka atzma toch shir bedika lechorinu stokim shezeu shir shebaila ba'osham toli avl im bodka atzma liachar shir ze. So the Bach wants to suggest that, let me just go over it one more time. Ein chavrosea tolos ba, ela im bodka atzma toch shir bedika lechorin ulis dokim, which is Kadesh Terid Min Amita. Alam Bod Gatzma Li Achar Shir Zeh Ein Chavroseh Tolos Ba. Now, I'm trying to figure out why is the Bach making this comment in Rav Oshia? In other words, just one second. Now that we've established that even Rav Oshia could allow for Tliya, that's only in Bodka Atzma of Kidei Shetarid Min Amita, and beyond that there's no Tliya. So why is that true according to Rav Oshia? I'm totally perplexed by this Bach. I was hoping that maybe we would work it out together. Again, forget about Rav Oshia for a minute. Let's go back to Bar Pada. Bar Pada says that toch kidei shir vest is a vadai tuma, so therefore tliya makes absolute sense. But if it was liachar kidei shir vest, that means kidei shetered, then it's only a suffek, and therefore baila biyoshem toli. Would there be tliya? Would there not be tliya? Let's say according to the Piskei Nidah, maybe there would be tliya. Why? Because it's only a suffek derabanan of kesem. And he kilu chachomim litlos, even if she's not tmei b'toras vada. But if you're talking about after that period of time, where baila would be tar, then even Bar Pada would admit that in such case there's no tliya.
Right.
What does he mean here, the Bach, when he says that after the shir of kedesha tered, Rav Oshia is going to say that there's no possibility of tliya? Truth is that I would have said that's true even according to Bar Pada.
Even Bar Pada, Rav Oshia said Bar Pada.
No, Fakert, it's the other way around. The Kal Vachomer goes the other way. He wants to say that according to Rav Oshia there's no possibility of tliya. I would say according to Bar Pada there's no possibility of tliya. For sure. I don't know. It's very confusing to me. So Rabosai, let's leave the Bach for the time being, because I just want to get to the Ramban. That's the main thing I want to get to. Okay. Now, is there, according to Rav Oshia, a possibility of being Mitami the Baal when she finds Dam after the Bia? Omer Av Yirmiya, Mashal Derav Oshia Lamad Over Dome, Li Yeled Vizoke. In other words, again, Rav Oshia is saying that even though she found Dami after Tashmish Hamita, and she only made a Bedika Toch Veses, nevertheless the Baal is a Vade because we added the element into the equation of Shamash Ma'akfa. L'yelid v'zokin shoy mahalchi b'derech, kol zman shohoyu b'derech is yelid shohel lovo. In other words, the child, he can run fast, but he's slowing down because he is with the zokin. But nitlasula ir, once they separate, they go their way, is a yelid m'mayer lovo. So it means the following, that the, you'll ask me, according to Rav Moshe, why did she find the dam right afterwards? And the answer is because as soon as you remove the barrier, everything flies and the dam is able to come out. The Omer of Abaye Moshe, the Rav Moshe Lema Dovidoli, Olam Shadosein Etzva Ba'ayin, Kol Zman She'etzva Ba'ayin, Dima Shoel Lovo, Not Al Etzva Dima Maheris Lovo. So if you clog up the eye, then the tears won't come out. But as soon as you remove that barrier, then the tears start
flowing.
Okay. Now, here are the questions that we want to address. First of all, we have the Mishnah on Daf Nun Tes Amid Beis. We had Shalosh Nashim Lovshu Chalok Zachar Zeh. There, the Mishnah doesn't mention a word about bedikos. It doesn't seem like there's any possibility of tliya at all. Okay, then. So again, the bedika is meaningful in the Mishnah's frame of reference for tliya only in a case where they were all simultaneously in the same boat or in the same bed, to be more precise. Because then we would be metame all of them. Because we can't be metame any particular one of them, but if one of them turns out to be tmeya through the bedika, then we can point that finger at her. But in the case of lavshu chalok, they all wore the same chalok, then there's a time differential built into the case. It was bazeh her zeh. So what are you going to tell me? That the third woman, for example, made a bedika. So what? That doesn't tell me anything about the time period in which the first woman wore the chalok, or the second woman wore the chalok. You follow my point? In other words, even if I assume that now the third woman who wore the chalok, when she got her turn, she became tmeya, that doesn't mean anything about the shasa sofik, because the shasa sofik is back at the time of the levisha sachalok. In other words, in the case of our Mishnah here on Samach Amud Beis, we have one Shasa Sofek for all three ladies, because that dam was found at one particular moment that generates a Sofek vis-a-vis all three. Mashenkin, in the case of the Chalok, where we know this dam on the Chalok, we don't know. Maybe it was dam on the Chalok at the time the first lady wore it. Maybe it was dam on the Chalok and the second lady wore it. So therefore, you don't have the possibility of using Bedika as your method of Tliya. Now, we want to see the third Mishnah. The third Mishnah is here on Daf Samach Aleph, Omed Aleph. Shalosh Noshim Shahoyu Yeshenos B'mita Achas. So far it's identical to the previous Mishnah. But here, it's V'nimtza Dam Tachas Ha'emtzoyos. In other words, there are ladies in the bed, but they're far away from where the kesem is. So you and I might think, in such a case, since they're far away, then we don't have the right to say that we should not say that even the women who are on the extremities should also be tmeos, because why not be told of the dam on the emtsoyos? Says the Mishnah, kulam tmeos. In other words, there's a possibility that somehow the dam, they all moved around. Let's just see what Rashi says over here. Rashi doesn't say. Okay, let's see. He brings this, the Orach HaShulchan. He says the following. Let me just read this to you. He says, "Kulam tmeos misafe ki tochen shedochaku zu et zu b'shas sheinosam." That while they were sleeping, they pushed each other around. V'nichnasa achas hanoshim shebetzdadim lechelka shala isha ha'emtzadis. So in other words, we don't have any, you know, if you have three people sleeping in a box, you know, each one has got walls to his right and to his left, that's one thing. But if it's an open bed and people are sleeping, then you don't define or limit the dam to that particular woman. But the chashash is that the dam might be related to any one of these three nosh. Okay. Now let's fast forward, if you will, to the middle part of this Mishnah. Again, there are various scenarios in the Mishnah which we don't want to address now, but we want to skip a few lines, and it says Bodka Achas Mihen. Do you have that? Let's see what line it is. Is it line 5? One second.
Yeah, it's the last word there. Bodka Achas Mihen. Nim Chitora.
Yeah, what line is it?
2, 4, 6, 7.
7 lines
last
down.
Last word on the 7.
Okay. Bodka achas mehen v'nimtzeis tahora. Okay, now until now, if you recall in the previous Mishnah Daf Samach Amid Beis, we were discussing a case where one of them made a bedik and found herself to be tmeah. Now the Mishnah wants to raise a whole new issue. And I'm going to ask you why it waits till this Mishnah to do so. But in any event, what is it? What issue does it raise? A woman amongst this three did a bedika, and lo and behold, she found herself to be tahora. So the Mishnah wants to know: does she have the right to therefore use that bedika to establish her chazaka, to strengthen her chazaka, and remove her from the suffix? And that's exactly what the Mishnah does. He tahora. And now you've reduced the suffix to the other two. And again, amongst the other two, we have no way of pointing the finger at either one of them. And therefore, Shtayen, Tmeos. The other two are Tmeos.
But you have to say this bedika was stuck in.
Well, the question I want to ask you is, if in the previous Mishnah, when we found that one of them was Tmeo, we made a whole big deal to somehow attach that Metzius Adam to the moment of the Kesem, and we worked very hard, are we going to have to do the same thing now and say that this Bedika that established that she was Tahora was done immediately at the time of the Metzius Adam? Because otherwise, okay, she's Tahora. But what does that prove about yesterday or about an hour ago when she found the Dam on the bed? Okay, so that's question number one. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, Bodku Shtayim, if two of them made a Bedika Matzen Toros, is Hain Toros Ushlishis Tmeya. By definition, we only have one girl left. This is what I explained to you before, why the Mishnah always has to mention three women, because it wants to get to this case. But now Shloshtan Matzen Toros, and you can guess it, because it's very similar to the case of Shloshtan Hayu Re'uyos, or Einam Re'uyos, I should say, is Kulam Tmeos, they're all tmeos. Okay, so let's try to focus on the following two issues. Number one, when exactly were these bedikos implemented? In the case of Nimtzeis Tmea, we saw the Sugya Bar Poda, that the bedika was implemented immediately after the Metzias Adam, Tokshir Veset. What about in this Mishnah here on Daf Samach Aleph, where Nimtzeis Tahora, do we have to apply the same yardstick that she made the bedika immediately after the Metzias Adam? And question number two, in the first Mishnah, which is the case of the Chalok, the Mishnah doesn't mention anything about bedika. Do we therefore assume that since the Mishnah left it out, it's totally irrelevant? And the law is that they're all Tmeos, regardless of the fact that one of them made a bedika and found herself to be Tmeah. We saw already that the Mishnah Shnia, right, there were three Mishnahs here, the middle Mishnah on Daf Samach Amid Beis reflects, according to Rav, the Shita of Bar Pada, that there's a Tliya here because of the Vadai Tuma, namely when she made the Bedika immediately B'Shas Vesta. Whereas, according to Rav Oshia, since her status is that of a Suffolk, therefore there's no Tliya.
Why is this a kesem we're talking about here now? All right, we're not seeing, and this then we're talking about where the all three made bedikas and nothing was found. Okay, so suffolk is a kesem, so it's a suffolk, whether it's, well, Alan,
that's not really so. I mean, we discussed this at great length. The Rabbanon bracketed the halach of Hargosha, the requirement of Hargosha. So therefore, if the dam came migufa, even though she didn't have Hargosha, she found it on the kesem, she's tmei b'tor zvada, albeit min Rabbanon.
Yeah, except you don't know when this kesem was here. You know, it could be an old kesem.
Oh, so now you have to talk about the following question. Is there a possibly of Makoles? Is it possibly that there was down before they went to sleep on the right? So that we're going to have to exclude all of those possibilities, meaning what we're left with is the following question. Which one of these three ladies had the dam? And the answer is it would seem that none of them did, but there's no other possible tliya. There's no makolas. There's no the sheets were clean. There's no shuk shel tavach. There's garnished. So in such a case, in the absence of any other tliya, we have to assume that all three of them are tmeos, because the rule is that if he can't be told on one more than the other, then we have to be mitami all of them. But what I wanted to suggest here is the two questions that we're asking today. Are they hava hatalia? In other words, is it all one question? Meaning that if you need a bedika miyad, correct, then in the case of nashim, gimel nashim b'mita, where there's one suffek simultaneously for all three of them, then you could say that since you pinpoint one moment, now it makes sense to say that I need toh kedei shir vest, I need a bedika miyad. And a bedika miyad is immediate because it attaches itself, this bedika, to the original moment of safek, as chal vis-a-vis all three nashim. But in the first of the three mishnayos, back on Daf Nun Tes, Amud Beis, when they wore a chalok, here there's no biyachad, meaning each one has a moment of suffek.
Right.
Her moment of suffek is subjective, depends upon the moment that she wore the beged. That's called bezachar zeh. And therefore, the concept of bedika linking up all three people to this one suffek, meaning in the case of the second mishnah, the third mishnah of what? Of Shalosh Nashim Yishenos B'mita Achas, there we could say that they're all dependent upon that moment of Metzias HaKesem. If we could say at the moment of Metzias HaKesem there was a Tmeya, and that was proven by the fact that she made a Bedik immediately following that, then the male of the other two are off the hook, because they can point to her and say that this Kesem came from her. But in the case of a bezecher zeh, meaning the first Mishnah on New Testament Beis, kishalav shu chaluk echad, there, each one has a suffix is independent of the other. So that even if you can attach a miyad to the third, to the levisha of the, of, let's say on the part of the third woman who, you know, sequentially she was the last one to wear the chaluk, and now she does the bedikah and she finds dam immediately after the third levisha.
Yeah,
that's not going to help vis-a-vis the first woman who wore this beged or the second woman who wore this beged, because that's already a different time period. And if in that time period we don't have a possibility of tliya, so that in a sense we're going to be metame all three of them, because the fact that the third one is definitely tmeya, that doesn't in any shape or form link them all three
right
to the same suffix.
Okay.
So here's where I want to get to the Ramban. The Ramban says the following, and the Ravid agrees with him. Kishem shebemotza tmeir, just like in the second Mishnah, on Samach Aleph, where was it? On Samach Amid Beis, I'm sorry, we're not up to Samach Aleph yet, that's the third Mishnah. Just like in the second Mishnah, where the Mishnah speaks about she made a bedikah and she found herself to be tmeir, we paskin, says the Ramban, like Bar Poda, and therefore, in that case, we will apply Tliya. Says the Ramban, the same thing applies in Nimtzeis Tahora. She dafka miyad, that she did the bedika immediately, tekef l'metzias hakesem, immediately after the metzias hakesem. Now, why do I make such a big deal about this Ramban? I mean, you'll say to me, pshita. I mean, the Ramban is just saying that which we know already. Ah, we don't know it. Why? Because on the Ravid, there's Hasogos of the Baal Amor. And the Baal Amor writes in his Hasogos, Shehem Chalukim, that there's a difference between the second Mishnah and the third Mishnah. Second Mishnah where she makes a bedik and she finds herself to be Tmeya, and the third Mishnah where she makes a bedik and finds herself to be Tahora. And he says the following, in Bodko Matzah Tahora, Afilu Eino Miyad Hi Tahora. In other words, the Baal Amor wants to isolate her bedikah and say that her bedikah could establish Tara, her status being Tahora, and it's irrelevant to the previous, to the earlier Mitzias Adam. And I think as we go along and we try to explain this, Baal Amor, I think what he's saying is that in the case of Tuma, right, of Bodko Umatzah Sasma Tmeya, there you can say that since a time period went by, the fact that she's Tmeya now doesn't really tell you anything about the Kesem that you found earlier. But in the case of Tahora, here you're not dealing with the Dam per se, you're first and foremost dealing with the Isha, and you're saying that she's Tahora, she doesn't see Dam. If she doesn't see Dam, why would I assume that kesem that was found 5 minutes ago or an hour ago or a day ago belongs to her? It's attributed to her. Why should I say such a thing? She's Tahora. And if she's Tahora, again, if all three check and each one finds herself to be Tahora, then we have a problem. Because then we don't have any possibility of Tliya. So all three are Tmeas. But if only one of them or two of them find herself to be Tahora, who cares when she found herself to be Tahora? As long as she found herself to be Tahora, we're not going to assume that Kesem is hers, because she now has an absolute Cheskes Tahara.
I think there's a difference.
Who do you want to defend, the Ramban or the Baal Amor?
The Baal Amor.
Okay, good. I'm also very impressed by this Baal Amor. I'm having trouble with the Ramban.
It seems to me that first of all, there's a very big difference between negative evidence and positive evidence. Negative evidence, that means you didn't find anything, but it doesn't prove that there isn't something else there. The initial cases that we had, especially in the second Mishnah on Samach Amid Beis, is talking about when it was done immediately afterwards, when it was Kashir Vassar. It's talking about Kinuach. It's not talking about
Right.
The Bodek Bistakim, or it takes more time, and it falls out of the period of time of
Metzias HaKesem.
Right. So, therefore, if the only way to have a real negative evidence that will be acceptable is it has to be the real Bodek of the Bistakim, and that automatically falls out of the time period of Kashir Vesis.
Right, so the Baal Amor says that it's irrelevant because Shir Vesis doesn't play a role in the Mishnah Shlishis, I mean in the Mishnah here on Daf Samach Aleph, because here she found herself to be Tahora. If she found herself to be Tahora, then why should we assume the Kesem belongs to her?
That's right, it takes her out of the
Mishnah. After the Safek. The Ramban, on the other hand, is saying, wait a minute, just like you said in the case of the Mishnah, the second Mishnah, right, the Mishnah of Bodka Umatzah Tmeya, then you want to say that that Bodku Matzah Tmeya has to relate to the Dam of the Kesem in order to alleviate the other two women of their suspected Tumah.
Right.
So then by the same token here in the third Mishnah, when she makes a Bedikah and finds herself to be Tahora, that Bedikah has to somehow relate to the Dam that we found on the Kesem. And who says that just because now she's Tahora, she was Tahora at the time of the Kesem? In other words, fundamentally the Ramban sees a Kesem, in the case of three women sleeping, sharing a bed, as belonging to all three women. Again, until we institute Tlia, it's you ask me, whose Kesem is it? And the answer is, it's Rachel, Leah, and Sarah.
The principle of guilty until proven innocent.
Correct. And therefore, if each one has a kesem, so what's the din of a woman who has a kesem and later on does a bedikah and finds herself to be tahara?
So maybe she gets herself out of it. She doesn't get.
No, that's a Rabban's point. She can't get herself out of it either. The Baal Amar says she removes herself.
Yeah,
why? Because what are the chances are that that dam on the bed was hadam? She was bodekas benimtzeis tahara.
Yeah.
That's not so according to the Ramban. The Ramban is saying that the kesem relates to her, and now you want to tell me no. She didn't have that kesem? You know, in the first Mishnah, when I say the first Mishnah, I mean the second Mishnah, but in the previous Mishnah, when she makes a bedikah and she finds herself to be tmeah, then we say the kesem belongs to her, and therefore if it belongs to her, it doesn't belong to the other two women.
Right, exactly.
But here in this case, you want to remove one woman from the suffix by saying that she's tahara. How do you remove her from the suffix? It was her kesem. Oh, so now she finds herself to be tahara. What does that tell you about the kesem? It tells you nothing about the kesem.
Yeah, that's the problem with negative evidence. It doesn't tell you anything more than that moment.
So that's why I think Adarabba, the Ramban now is along this line of reasoning of negative evidence of removing. Now, what does the Rambam hold? You know, whenever we have machlokas between the Ramban and the Baal Amar, we want to know what the Rambam holds. So if you take a look in the Rambam in Perek Tes, Mehilchos Issurei Bi'ah Halacha Beis, the Rambam says that Matzah Tmeya is Miyat. In the case of the second Mishnah, when do we apply Tliya? When she finds herself to be Tmeya Miyat.
Right.
Then the Rambam says, Avol Matzah Tahora. The Rambam does not say a word about Miyat. Why did the Rambam add the word Miyat in the case of the second Mishnah, meaning the Matzah Tmeya, and he omits the word Miyat in the third Mishnah of Matzah Tahora? The answer is because the Rambam holds like the Baal Amar,
right,
that it doesn't have to be Miyat. If she establishes herself now as Tahora, then we assume that this kesem is not hers. Let's push the kesem off, pawn it off on the other ladies.
Right.
And again, I think what the Baal Amar is arguing here, and the Rambam agrees, is that all these three women are in the same boat over here. Meaning, there's a tug of war here on the kesem. If one of them can point to the others, she can expiate herself.
Right.
How could she point to the others? She can say, look, you haven't made any bedikas. You haven't found yourself to be tahora. Why not assume that the kesem is yours? I at least made a bedikah and I found myself to be tahora. And therefore, I want to point my accusing finger at you and say that this kesem belongs to you. However, again, let's go back to the other question: why the bedikah doesn't appear in the first of our three mishnayos, namely Lavshu Shlosha Shalavshu Chaluk Bezecher Zeh, or Yashar Al Suf Saf Sol and Sof and so on, Bezecher Zeh. There we don't have any discussion about Bodka. Says the Ramban that as far as the first Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah of Chaluk, there he says, I'm not so sure exactly what this Chaf Aleph is, just one second. Oh, interesting. The Ramban says that let's differentiate between Lady A and B as opposed to Lady C. The C is the Achrona, the last one to wear the Chaluk. He says, B'ish Achrona, immiyad, if immediately, kisha matzah kesem. After she found the kesem, bodka u'matzah tmeya, in such a case, hachiros tahoros.
Yeah.
This is fascinating. What he's saying is that for some reason the bedika that could work to set up tliya in a miyad situation, again, bedika miyad, is exclusively or singularly focused on the achrona. Even though, again, the metzias hakesem here is related to the rishona and the shniya as well. But since the only one who found this kesem is the shlishis, the achrona, therefore, there is a moment of metzias hakesem. But again, we're going to have to attach a bedika shenimtzeis tmeya to that moment of bedika of nimtzeis of nimtzar kesem. We can only do that with regard to the achrona. Then he goes on to say, in matzah tahora, he tahora. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Immediately after she found a kesem on the chalok, she made a bedika. Immediately she found herself to be tahora. Then she is tahora. And she can assume that one of the other two ladies are tmeos. Avol gavi shtei nashim arishonos shehem kvar pashtu abeget. Right? In other words, they already took off the cloth. So the bedika can never be attached to the moment of the kesem, because the moment of the kesem was earlier. They don't have the possibility of tliya. Now, it's a little bit strange to me, according to the Ramban, that the Mishnah didn't point this out. Meaning, the Mishnah in the first case of Shlosha Shalav Shel Chalukecha doesn't whisper a word about Bedika.
Miyad or otherwise.
And according to the Ramban, if the third lady made a Bedika Miyad, then she could be Tola on the again, if the third woman made a Bedika Miyad, then the Acheres are Tahoros, which means then Tliya does operate. So if the possibility of Bedika Smucha L'Metzias Adam is operative, is valid, in order to establish Tliya, then the Mishnah should have said something about that. Now the Rambam, in the same place that we mentioned before, says that there's no difference whatsoever, that the din of Bedika goes on all the Mishnais. The Rambam learned that when the Mishnah waited until the end in order to tell you a din that applies to all the previous Mishnayos, and Bedika is meaningful for all the previous Mishnayos. So again, whereas according to the Rambam in the first Mishnah, Bedika is only relevant to the third woman who wore the Chalok third, according to the Rambam, Bedika operates exactly the same way in Shlosha Nashim She'lavshu Chaluka as it does in the case of the second and the third Mishnah of Shlosha Nashim Sheyashnu B'mita. And finally, we have the middle of the Rosh Shita of the Rashba. The Rashba in the Torah Sabayis wants to make the following distinction. It depends whether she finds herself to be Tmeya through this Bedika or she finds herself to be Tahora. If she finds herself to be Tmeya, then the Ramban is right that it's got to be the third woman who found herself to be Tmeya. And that allows the first two to be Tola on the third. So the Rashba is on the same camp as the Ramban. However, if the third woman does a Bedika and she finds herself to be Tahora, according to the Rashba, if the Bedika turns out to be negative, meaning she's Tahora, then it doesn't matter which of the three women made that Bedika, she is able to be Matayr herself.
Okay
then, what time is it now? Okay, we're going to stop here. I think this is a fantastic introduction to the sugya. Again, we still have a ways to go, but I'm very happy that we accomplished so much.